to everyone, well, first off, welcome to the regular action meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board for October. We have now public comment, and
my guest folks, I know we have Linda McMenemy, Fran Hooper, Stuart Schwartz.
And anyone else after that, I think just start to line up behind and folks come on up. Just please identify who you are, maybe what organization you're with. And if we can, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, just for running a little bit. Yeah. Linda, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Linda McMenemy with the Virginia Transit Association. And I wanted to provide a comment on the Department of Rail and Public Transportation recommendation, 297 recommendations for the transit reallocation of transit operating funds. Transit providers from across the state and providers of all sizes from have very serious concerns about the proposal, and they believe that the proposal has serious inherent flaws which could harm rather than help the program. In this case, truly the devil is in the details, and that's one of the things that we have analyzed the details that we've been able to see from the PowerPoints that the department has provided throughout the summer. Transit properties do support the use of performance measures, and they use them to monitor and make changes to their service. We do not support the application of these measures to reallocate a majority of existing state transit operating funds. Transit systems have every incentive to use their resources wisely and to be efficient. 75% of transit operating assistance comes from the fare box and local government. And the state really does provide a minority share of funding. So, as you know, local governments are feeling a very significant pinch right now and have been for some time. And so we have very powerful incentives to stay as efficient as possible. DRPT's proposal is a one-size-fits-all model for a majority of transit funds that would supplant local priorities. It replaces a simple and easily verifiable and time-tested allocation formula with performance measures that are inherently more difficult to collect, track, and validate, adding to the expense of program management. And we believe that getting the right performance measures is very important. We don't believe that these output performance measures necessarily translate into the outcomes that you might want or expect, and could have some serious unintended consequences. The proposal pits providers against one another, assigning them to a peer group in which the differences between the peers are glossed over. Particularly, it ignores very different circumstances that transit systems operate under. For example, I'd just like to give an example on this. Blacksburg Transit serves which is a very good service, provides a service to mostly university students. They have a large, pretty captive ridership, which is very good, and they're using their resources very well. They also have access to a large number of student drivers and part-time student drivers that they're able to pay a reasonable rate to. However, contrasting them to Hampton Roads Transit bus service or even Roanoke service, Roanoke is operating in a very different situation. They have much more, they're spread out over a larger area. They have a more transit-dependent population, and of course they don't have access to the part-time drivers. So these are circumstances that really a system can't necessarily do anything about, but would make a big difference in terms of the efficiency standards that that this proposal would affect their funding for. In a nutshell, many of these changes would reduce the reliability and increase the volatility of state funding. And as you know, reliability of funding is very important to continue to run efficient and effective operations. If DRPT's proposals were to go into effect, Many providers would be pushed to cut routes that provide important access but may not be strong revenue producers. For example, routes that connect social service, medical facilities, or services for the elderly and disabled. And it would also shift more of the cost for starting new service to the local level, and thereby being a disincentive to start new service. We believe that this proposal is not ready to be adopted into the code. And alternatively, because we do have a strong and growing program around the state, that there should be much more emphasis on increasing the funding so that transit in different parts of the state can be successful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Fran Hooper. I'm an Albemarle County citizen appointed by the county board to be on the board of directors of Jaunt, and I am also serving as treasurer of Jaunt this year. Jaunt is a demand response public transit service provider in Central Virginia that serves the citizens of the city of Charlottesville, Albemarle, Nelson, Louisiana, Buckingham, and Louisa counties. Our riders also include citizens from Greene, Madison, and Culpeper counties, and Amherst, I thought. In addition, in fiscal year just ended, our ridership increased by 3.5% to a total of 330,000 riders a year. We're not big like WMATA, we're not big like the Tide, but we do provide service that's much needed in our area. As a demand response service provider, our passengers call our dispatch center to schedule their trips, at least a day in advance. We are a demand response service because many of our riders need accessible paratransit service, and because much of our service area is a rural area, and it is totally unrealistic and totally unsuited for regular route bus service. In fiscal year 2012, Jaunt's revenues totaled $5.7 million. Of that amount, about 40% of the money came from our local governments, whose citizens we serve. About 28% of that money came from the federal government and federal grants. And about 18% of it came from the fare box and transportation fees. About 14.8% of that money came from the state of Virginia. As a publicly funded transit agency, we are extremely concerned about the efficiency and effectiveness of our service. We measure our performance carefully to meet the performance standards that our local jurisdictions have established for us and those that come with the receipt of federal funds. As you heard Mr. Harrell say this morning, I agree with him, we, like other transit agencies, are very concerned about the way DRPT has approached the issue of the growing demand for public transportation and the need for additional state funding for public transportation. Unfortunately, they have failed to address the issue of how to increase state funding to meet the growing demand for transit, which was called for in SJR 297. Instead, they have focused only on the development of a new funding formula that creates winners and losers. And Jaunt is a loser under the new formula, not because our service does not perform well, not at all, but because DRPT will force us to compete against transit agencies that provide totally different type of service than we do. As I said earlier, Jaunt provides demand response service, not regular route service, like the other operators that we will be competing against and compared with when we're competing for state funds. Our service inherently is less productive because our riders are paratransit riders and rural riders. DPRT has loaded the dice against us and made Jaunt a loser. In the September 8th edition of DRPT's proposal, we would lose over $340,000 in state funds. That's about 42% of the state funds we're currently getting. And it would mean that if we were to try to maintain the same level of service, we would have to get an 11% increase in local funds from the municipalities that we serve. We're already getting 40% of our revenue from those municipalities, way above the state average, or significantly above the state average. Our meeting, our board meeting last week, the joint board voted to oppose DRPT's seriously flawed approach and to begin discussing our concerns with the local jurisdictions we serve and with our state legislators. And that's why I'm here today, to let you know that there is serious concern at Jaunt and in a number of other transit agencies. In fact, I think from what I've heard today, most transit agencies around the country, the state, about the formula that is being approached to you, given to you today. Thank you.
I think Jaunt does a wonderful job. Thank you all for coming.
Short.
I will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the CTB. I'm here, I'm Stuart Schwartz, I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. I'm here, first of all, to share our concerns about DRPT's recommendations for SJR 297, as are our members who sent you 191 emails on a technical funding issue that, you know, indicating their shared concern. The state's only paying 5% of the capital cost of Dulles Rail, maybe 8%, not much. At the same time, local governments and riders are paying 75% of the operating costs of transit. Yet through this new formula, the state would take too much control and discretion over allocating the state share, which is still desperately needed by the localities. In the process, it'd be like having a minority shareholder in your company taking effective control of your company through this approach. We simply can't make certain of these comparisons. Comparing WMATA to Norfolk Light Rail and certainly to a commuter rail system, which all transit experts that I know of consider a very different type of service than a local transit, rail transit service. You can't do it. We're not against performance metrics. Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, I know, has extensive metrics and does analysis. And if the locals are putting in most of the money into this with their local tax dollars, you can be sure that they're looking about having effective and efficient operation. They're always relooking at service and routes. Certainly in some cases where it is less effective, as you just heard in terms of a cost effectiveness basis, is because you're trying to provide disability and other services for people in dependent populations. The real issue is increasing funding for transit. Transit is booming. We have high ridership growth at the same time that vehicle miles traveled are declining. We have high energy prices. The demand is there. The need is there. And this state has always, in my view, fallen short in supporting transit funding. Yeah, we can look at performance standards, but I don't think it can be done in separate from the funding problem and in the critical role of local governments and the ridership in this puzzle. You know, in contrast to really the number of obstacles put in front of transit and the hoops they're having to jump through over the last couple of years, including the threats to Northern Virginia's leadership on the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission and so forth, we do still feel there's a rush to judgment on your Route 460 project. We heard some good questions today and all, but it is still, as you know, a very significant decision that you're making. We don't understand the rush given that Craney Island expansion could be as much as 15 to 20 years away. We think you should review the freight projections for this. We should ask questions that if the private sector couldn't make this project work, why are we doing it? We should ask why we're spending not just $1.4 billion for it, but over $1 billion in debt service, so that making this $2.4 billion in terms of a project. The presentation and a lot of discussion focused on the $216 million in borrowing. You know, so what if the nonprofit corporation fails to collect enough tolls for it, and it could very likely be the case. What's more important is to focus on the $1.18 billion. That's money coming out of every district in the state. That's Garvey bond borrowing. That's CPR borrowing. That's a significant amount of debt we're taking on. As you all know, when the money's gone from this recent borrowing spree, it is gone. So the real question is choices. Is this the best investment we could be making to support our economy? It really requires looking at those freight numbers and the economy of the port, but also comparing it to all those tens of thousands of people in Hampton Roads stuck in traffic every day. We keep talking about how we're a knowledge economy. That knowledge economy is stuck in traffic. Those people can't get to work. The movement between Portsmouth and Norfolk, or Chesapeake and Norfolk, is being affected by the tolls that they're being asked to pay because we're not investing enough state money in that. Fixing 64 with targeted improvements, fixing the existing 460 with targeted improvements. There are just a number of other projects, and I don't understand, I don't see the economic benefits comparison given the different investments that we could make. I was looking at Peter Samuels' Toll Roads News article from 2010. He thought the project was unaffordable and not viable, and he's a big toll road and road supporter in general. He looked at the numbers. It didn't make sense to him. I think, you know, even with the Navy, if you ask the Navy, is this road more important to them, getting certain goods in, or is it more important that their sailors get to work more frequently on time and that they have greater accessibility between bases for meetings and so forth within Hampton Roads? So much of the problem we have within our metro areas is within them, not between them. So, you know, is the net economic benefit enough to make it worth this much debt? Are there better investments you could be making with this scarce money? We need to make those comparisons. We're asking you that you take the time, you pause, not vote on it today, and provide this additional scrutiny. Honestly, there should almost be an independent audit of it. And I guess lastly, I would ask, if this were your business compared to the other investment opportunities you could make, would you make this investment? Thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak? Anyone else like to speak? Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much.
We'll get to the minutes of September 19th. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Maintenance division. Ethel.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have two easy lifting items here, I think. They are in separate geographic regions of the state in two separate actions, but I will tell you that we followed our usual process to dispose of them and get them before you, and we had the appropriate public involvement. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm recommending approval of both of those items to the members of the board.
Yes, Ms. Plotter.
Second.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no.
Mr.
Whitmer.
Yes, I'd like to make that motion, please.
Okay.
Then we have a second. Excellent. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those Mr. Madney? Okay.
Yes.
No. You guys say, I'd like to make a motion on number two. This is your first motion. This is your, going to be forever in history.
No, it's
your
actually, I think it's Sunny's going to do that one. Sunny Martin.
No, you're Bristol, right? You're Bristol District?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I always turn to the district first. Sonny, you're number two. You second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Excellent first job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Large member comes.
Yeah. Now they have to buy the beer afterwards, right? All right, programming. Ms. Mitchell.
Good afternoon. I have one amendment to the 13 through 18 SYP. It's in the Hampton Roads District, the Williamsburg Area Transit Authority project that's being added and will be funded with the MPO's RSTP funds.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Okay. The second item I have is our regular monthly transfer report, moving money from completed projects or surpluses on projects to fund scheduled projects is the main purpose of those transfers. I do want to point out on page 3, on the less than 10% transfers on row H, that there is a small transfer for $4,600 where we're moving it to a hybrid pickup project in Herndon, Virginia.
Gosh.
It is a project that has been in the program, and this is just to award the project.
It's grandfathered, right?
Pardon?
But the new ones are not grandfathered.
New ones, we are not adding new hybrid vehicle projects to the program, and there's about maybe four or five others
one
that are
more
still
truck.
Hanging out there. So I did want to point that one out to you.
Thank you so
and
much.
I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I move the approval.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Excellent. 460.
There is a separate resolution for the amendment that I summarized earlier and the transfers for the Route 460 project. There is one change I'd like to make to the resolution itself, and I apologize. It's the last, now therefore be it resolved. We indicate in this resolution that the transfer of the $300 million of Garvey bond proceeds from I-95 to 460 construction would be approved with your approval of this resolution, contingent upon all the necessary approvals and execution of the TIFIA loan documents at the end of the month, in about 2 weeks. I We have the $300 million referenced. That is the amount we want to transfer to 460, but we don't know if that's the exact dollar amount of what the TIFIA loan will be, and I don't want this to be null and void by a dollar or two or $1,000. So I would like to delete the $300 million reference as the amount of the loan and just refer to the contingency being based on the execution of the document in November, by the end of November 30, to allow the transfer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move approval based on Ms. Buescher's changes to the amendment.
Second.
All any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent. Very good job. Local assistance, Mr. Brule.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have three
items.
Missed
you. Where have you been all day?
Working back. Working.
Quietly in the back.
We want to make sure, Mr. Worley, we want to make sure she sits in the front row.
Yes, sir.
We don't know what she's doing back there with our money.
All right, I have three items for you today. The first is the designation of Route 24 from its intersection with Route 29 in Campbell County to its intersection with Route 43 in Bedford County as a Virginia byway. This action was requested by the two counties jointly. The roadway segment, which is about 16 miles long, has been reviewed by VDOT and the Department of Conservation and Recreation, and we recommend your approval of this byway designation.
I make a motion, and then Mr. Martin, I think, would second. Starts at Lynchburg and goes to the Salem District.
Right, so we have a motion and a second.
I thought it started at Salem and goes.
Do we have any discussion?
And that was the other way.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
All right, next item is a reallocation of revenue sharing funds in Wise County. Wise County has requested a reallocation of their revenue sharing funds. They're going to cancel their existing project. They haven't been able to acquire the right-of-way that they expected to be able to as a donation, and instead are going to transfer it to an existing project in their six-year plan that they can accelerate and advertise in this fiscal year.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make that motion, please.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
All right. Last item is the interim policy on transportation alternatives, selection of transportation alternatives projects I briefed you on this last month in Winchester.
Second.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay. Have all the MPOs been informed about this one-year change?
We did a statewide teleconference with the MPOs that will have the authority to select projects last week. We've given them a few weeks to go back and consult with their technical committees and their policy committees to get back to us as to whether or not they want to be part of the statewide process. We expect to have that information from them by the 1st of December, which would coincide with when we would do a release of a call of applications for the next round.
And you'll
we'll
circulate that?
Absolutely.
Question.
Okay, Mr. Miller, then Mr. Culp.
Jennifer, is it anticipated that when MAP 21, is this going to change again? That's what I'm asking. Is that anticipated?
What we have presented for your consideration today is a one-year policy. Right. Given all of the unknowns we have with MAP 21, we think that's advisable, and then we should know more for a more permanent policy.
Do you have a projection, or if even using last year, how this would change the allocations of the district members versus the at-large members? Do you have
what we can guess reasonably at this point, based on the policy and the way that we've worked to try to divide up the money, the district members would get about $1 million, maybe a little bit less, which is less than what they received last year. And the at-large members would get a little bit less than that because they're dividing up that remaining piece of the sub-allocation by population.
A little bit less than that means?
Probably be about $750,000.
So it's a victory. We're getting closer.
Again, all subject to change.
Notwithstanding Mr. Garcinski's abdication to a district member, we're getting closer, Mr. Garcinski.
You're assuming the secretary's not going to take more.
No, he gets an equal share.
Okay. Not my share.
It's citizenship, right.
Yeah. Boss. Citizen share.
It's governor's share.
He is being the only elected, well,
move approval.
Mr. Colvin, Mr. Sterling.
Let me make sure I understand. We're not limiting the MPOs to only existing enhancement fund projects.
Yes, we
just
are.
Just CTB.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
What we are asking them is if they want to be part of the statewide selection process, they would also be limited to existing projects. Again, to try to focus on bringing projects that are already in the pipeline to some phase of completion. We shared with them essentially the same presentation that we gave you last month. They can elect to have their own process where they could select new projects. I think what they saw was the numbers that they would receive in the distribution were less than what they've received in previous years, and that there's some benefit to being part of the statewide process.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mr. Sterling?
Jennifer, this isn't always neat. In the case of the Fredericksburg District, the northern part of it gets caught up in the Northern Virginia TMA, but it is not represented by the Northern Virginia MPO.
Yeah.
Therefore, how does that get dealt with? Does the Fredericksburg MPO deal with that, even though that it's a limited amount of TMA that's in there, or
urban at large?
We have engaged the Fredericksburg MPO as we're kind of treating it, looking at it the same way as we look at the regional STP funds that the MPOs have had to allocate over the years. So we're engaging Fredericksburg in that discussion and looking at how much money they would receive. It's less than $100,000 when you look at it by population. So we are engaging them as part of that discussion, and they would have the opportunity to allocate that money.
Okay. No approval.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Rule. Thank you very much. Traffic engineering, Corey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. We have one item for you today is to add, designate as a truck route, these routes that are listed here, route 141, 337, and 239. We have concurrence from both the City of Chesapeake and Portsmouth, and we recommend approval.
This is great. I recommend approval. It's adding the Jordan Bridge as a truck route, so thank you for all your work. I highly recommend approval.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Bill Lawson, Financial Planning.
Good afternoon. This action item is the action associated with the maximum bond amount that I mentioned to you earlier. You're seeking, the CT 6320 is seeking the authority to issue up to $425 million in senior debt associated with Route 460 project.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Do I need to abstain? I think I have to abstain since I am the chairman of the issue.
You abstain.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have one abstention. Scheduling and contract missiles.
Don had to leave, so I'll do this. We had 12 contracts this month, one over $5 million, three between $2 and $5 million, and eight under $2 million. What you have in your contract is in your book is the one contract over $5 million. It's a regional signal contract for the Richmond and Fredericksburg districts.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. We have new business then?
Yes, I have. You'll see you have two resolutions there. These have to do with design build contracts in Northern Virginia on Cyclic Road, and also the active traffic management project on I-66. These contracts have come in. They're going through the process. Because they're not a board meeting in November, we're asking you to give the authority to the commissioner to approve and award these contracts, and we will come back at your next meeting and present them to you what happened.
The Secretary, I'd make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? And, I'm sorry, that was one? Two.
Hey, he did them both, he said.
Did them both. I thought you wanted to have a discussion about number two. No?
It's the traffic management.
Yeah, I thought there was one. Okay. Any other new business?
Yeah, new business, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
I move that the CTB express sincere appreciation to Connie Sorrell for her excellent service to the Commonwealth.
Okay. So I have a resolution brought to the board then. She leaves when?
There is one already. Good point.
Well, we have a all the details, but so we have a motion, a second for commendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Thank you very much. Mr.
Drake? I just wanted to let everyone know you'll be getting an invitation soon for the inaugural train to Norfolk on that very first train. No train service to Norfolk since 1977. So December 11 is the day. You may want to make a note of that, and you'll be getting an invitation.
All right.
And don't forget the transportation conference up in Northern Virginia.
December.
And let me just make a little marketing comment to you all. So when we do these brochures, remember we had the Midtown Tunnel guys? They came and took a picture on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. The place was empty. So, Ms. Drake.
We know.
Lieutenant Colonel, could you make sure she has some time?
Oh, that's a good point. We were looking for a Navy picture because it was not.
We like the Air Force.
We like them too.
They're sort of like Milton. But,
easy, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just have one point of new business. You know, we've had thousands and thousands of Virginians who have served in Afghanistan and Iraq. I'd like an update next meeting in December, what we're doing about hiring wounded veterans and veterans in general.
We have one right behind you.
Yeah, there we go. I'd like to know what we're doing. The last I heard, we hired 8 of them. That's not enough, in my opinion. I'd like to know what we're doing.
Right. We'll do a wounded warrior and also the other veterans program. Any other further comments? Okay. Thank you all very much. We will see you in November.
December 5th.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Carol, you'll get out. Those are all good.